Hi, and welcome to Zed Games. Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane and broadcast nationally over the Community Radio Network, Zed Games brings you the latest gaming news, reviews, and interviews from across Australia and around the world.
Hello, welcome once again to another awesome episode of Zed Games, heard in Brisbane on 4ZZZ, thanks to the magic of FM broadcasting and around Australia for the benefit of humankind, thanks to the Community Radio Network. I am Razor at the Captain's Helm yet again, and I am joined by my friends, co-hosts, and awesome humans. First up, Mr. Lee May.
Hello out there in Radioland.
And Mr. Jody McGregor.
Hi, guys.
And we are affectionately known as the Three Amigos, and we will be bringing you today's gaming-related content.
I didn't even know you thought we were friends, so that's pretty nice.
Yeah, well,
those
screw
amigos.
You, man.
Yeah.
Screw you.
Oh, I guess you guys are just the two amigos now.
This episode, we will be talking about WildStar, which is a MMO which has been garnering a lot of praise recently, rightly?
That's right. Yes, yes it is, and yes we will be. Both of those things.
And EA Sports UFC, I have been playing that. And it's got a lot of sweaty men beating each other up in it.
Do you know how to take a man down now, Ray?
Yes.
Yes.
L1, R1, and rotate the right stick.
Whew. That sounds hot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Be warned, saucy evildoers. Yeah. I know how to take a man down.
I am looking forward to that review.
But let's kick this episode off, as usual, with the week in gaming news headlines. Mr. Jody McGregor.
The lead artist from Call of Duty creators Infinity Ward, Tyhoon Oh, has founded a new studio that will focus on virtual reality and mobile games. The new studio is called Reload and is made up of 12 ex-Infinity Ward staff, including programmers, artists, and producers. No platforms or titles were announced, but their new website suggests that they will be developing titles for the Oculus Rift VR headset.
There's no middle ground there, is there? Mobile titles and virtual reality. Those are extreme.
Maybe they're actually working on stuff for the Google Cardboard VR headsets.
Yes. Looking forward to that one.
That's funny because other Infinity Ward staff have created a new studio called Respawn.
Yeah.
So do you think that's a little reference to that, or is it just a coincidence?
Maybe it's some sort of secret pact that they all made prior to leaving Infinity Ward. We don't know what goes on in there. I assume a lot of diabolism.
If anyone else leaves, they'll have to call their company Reheat or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Repent.
Oculus VR has cancelled some orders of the second Rift development kit after they found out that the buyers planned to resell the headset on eBay. The company's community manager said, "We found this guy's order and cancelled it. We don't allow resale of the development kit. We also don't provide warranty on secondhand sales, so if you buy on eBay, you are on your own." The kit costs $350 from the company, but some eBay sellers have the product listed for up to $800. 45,000 headsets have been ordered, with the first batch to be sent out this month.
I have no sympathy for that guy. None at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Screw that guy.
Here's my official response.
And if you really want one, you can just wait like the rest of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't pay $800 on eBay, you doofus. Mass Effect developer BioWare has invited series fans to complete a survey to determine the content of the next Mass Effect game. The survey asks what RPG elements you are most looking forward to and which aspects of the game you most enjoy, such as story, exploration, combat, or customization.
They didn't add makeouts?
I assume that exploration is sexual exploration.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine.
It's not exploring planets. It's exploring your
crew.
Sexuality.
So you've filled out that survey already, haven't you, Jody?
Yeah, I did, and I'm probably the only person who didn't put in the box at the end, "Make the ending not suck," which I assume every other Mass Effect player did.
Oh, there's a box at the end?
For your own comments. There's like a little place where you can put additional things, and I just assume that it's full of all caps rants about the ending, because that's what Mass Effect fans are like.
What did you add?
I don't actually remember. I just said I really like your games and the moral choices and the blue aliens.
You're dithering. I know that you asked for more insectile races to romance, didn't you?
I did not.
Yeah.
I like the blue alien babes myself.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Ray. thanks for your input.
Shatner.
Wizards of the Coast has this week launched the 5th edition of the original pen and paper role-playing game Dungeons & Dragons. The PDF of the basic rule set is available to download for free, with a physical starter kit available for $15.
That's exciting. That's nice to see.
Yeah.
Yeah. It 5th edition actually looks like it's a cool rule set, and it looks like a good place to gather fans, old and new.
The 4th edition really streamlined the whole system, right?
Yeah, a lot of stuff, but then it added a lot of complicated things, which is why you and I no longer play 4th edition.
Do you think that this 5th edition will further streamline it or bring back some of the complexity that the old school fans were after?
I think it's going to remove the complexity that was unnecessary. That's what it looks like it's doing, and it's adding in some of the options that they took out. So a lot of the stuff that they didn't think was necessary for 4th edition, they've put back in there. A lot of the flavor stuff, the crunch that makes it fun to create a personality rather than just a handful of combat moves. So that's what I like about this. It also feels a lot like the really early editions. It feels a bit mean, it feels dangerous, and that's fun. So yeah, I'm not sure whether I will end up giving it a shot, but I urge other people, if you're interested in playing a tabletop RPG, you should, because it's a wonderful way to get drunk and eat pizza.
Excellent. That is it for this week's news headlines. Next up, we'll be talking about EA Sports UFC.
You are listening to Zed Games, heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network. Ray, you have been playing EA Sports UFC. You have been fighting men with other men. Are those men shirtless?
They are indeed.
Excellent.
Yes. You can also choose the amount of chest hair they have if you create your own fighter.
Oh, really?
That's impressive.
How much hair did you put on your fighter?
Just a light sprinkling.
Yeah.
Does it have the sliders where you can, you know, go for slim or chubby or
that's
fat
exactly
as a
right.
womble?
Yes, all those sliders. Facial hair.
Yep.
You know, nose size. I've got to say, so this is the first EA Sports UFC game before THQ used to have the license. And Lee, you've played a bunch of that before, right?
God, yes. Yes, THQ's last UFC game is still one of my favorites and still gets played in my house to this day. We like hitting men so hard that their entire body turns to rubber and doesn't tell their brain about it until the very last minute.
So now EA Sports have the license, and this is the first game for the new consoles, PS4 and Xbox One. Sorry,
get with the times,
yeah,
Razer.
Yeah, trying to get with them. Yeah, so this has been built from the ground up for the new consoles, which is cool. And as a result of that, the graphics are pretty amazing. The models of the characters are really, really well realized there.
The chest body, hair physics are very
chest
impressive.
Hair.
Does it blow in the breeze?
There's no breeze inside the stadium.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the body shapes. I mean, you've got a really diverse range of body shapes and stuff, and they look like real dudes' chests. So if that's what you're after, this game is sweet.
There's your box quote.
This game has ladies as well, right?
Yeah, there are 7 women fighters, although you cannot create your own woman fighter and take her through the career mode, unfortunately.
It's a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
It is, but I think this reflects kind of, I guess, the disparity in real life, mm-hmm. As opposed to like something that this game is lacking.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, the creator a fighter thing allows you to go through and fight an entire career against an entire career's worth of real opponents.
Yes.
And there aren't that many lady UFC fighters that they probably were able to license. But maybe it means that the next one that they do will have a much bigger roster.
I really hope so. So there's only 7 women fighters in this. You'll have to get used to playing a big, sweaty dude. Or maybe a little skinny, sweaty dude, because there are different weight categories that you can go in. So my dude that I made, his name is Jason Ferreira, a.k.a. El Diablo. And he's got a Travis Bickle-style mohawk and a mustache. He's 6'4" and 173 pounds. Heavily tattooed.
Wow. Does he wear a t-shirt that says all swag every day?
No, but that's a good idea.
He does sound just like you, Ray.
Yes.
And
and he's fighting out of Melbourne, New South Wales. Because that's just a mistake in the game, and it's hilarious.
That was probably my favorite. One of my favorite things about the previous game was being able to construct a pretty good representation of both myself and my housemate and have them fight out of... I was fighting out of Brisbane, Australia, and he, being a giant Nordic Viking, was fighting out of Iceland. And also that you can... because it's got a lot of names that you can choose from, right?
Yeah.
You probably actually could have gotten Ray your name, which we won't announce on air, but something close to, right? It was always great hearing the announcer call my name or as close as I could get. And then all of the fighting belts that I had eventually won because of my obsession with this game. And then having someone much bigger than me just punch my head straight off because glass cannon, turns out. I'm not very big.
So as I said before, the graphics are amazing. The bodies look good. And at first, you know, I thought that the faces looked a bit dodgy. They're kind of hanging in the uncanny valley a bit. But, you know, as soon as I saw some video footage of the actual wrestlers, I thought, you know what, they've actually nailed it.
Yeah,
those actually look like that.
Their faces have been pulverized and reconstructed. They look more like a video game now.
They really are an ugly bunch. Some of them have like disgusting puffed up ears or busted up nose that are kind of offset.
You better hope that there are no UFC competitors listening in on our show.
I'll be fine against them. I've played the game. I know how to take a dude down.
Yeah.
L1 plus L2 plus rotate the stick. Yeah.
Again, it just sounds hot.
So is it a complicated fighting system? Is it like a Street Fighter 2 kind of moveset?
No, not at all. I'm not big into UFC, the real sport. It's a bit too full-on for me. It's pretty real, you know. It's dudes beating the crap out of each other's blood everywhere. There's actually quite a lot of complexity to it because, you know, everyone's got their own different fighting styles. There's the part of the match where you're just punching each other and kicking each other in the face. Then there's like a clinch, which is where you get really close to them and grabbing each other.
That's the first cuddle.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the cuddling. And then there's, you know, on the ground when you're sort of rolling around and trying
to... Second cuddle.
Yeah.
The second cuddle on the ground. And there's a whole bunch of techniques that they've crammed in. And as a result, the game is kind of bloated a little bit with these very complicated controls, which makes the learning curve of this game very steep. It took me about 5 or 6 hours to get a handle on it, and I really had to punch through and actually, you know, commit to learning this moveset to actually progress because it was pretty difficult. And, you know, I'm not terribly into UFC and I'm not big into fighting games, so it was a bit of a challenge for me. But now that I've actually there and mastered the moveset, well, not mastered, but, you know, got a grip on the controls and knowing what does what, it's actually pretty fun, and there's a slight bit of intuition, like, you know, once you know which button to push and which way to hold it, you kind of get a feel for how you can fight the other dude. I don't know, it feels really good. I actually found myself having a lot of fun with the fighting after a while.
You were saying that the control systems are quite different from one to the other, so do you have a preference between your stand-up game and your groundwork?
Groundwork's difficult because there's a very complicated submission system where your opponent has to exert pressure if he's trying to make you submit, and you have to sort of resist against it. And it kind of, like, there's a little graph that pops up, and, you know, you have to move the stick in different directions and stuff like that.
Right.
And every time someone tries to get me in a submission hole, they end up losing. So my goal is to knock them out before that happens.
So. Right. So you don't even try to get into any kind of ground and pound situation. That's also terminology.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something that is interesting is they've used personalities from the UFC in the game. Like Dana White is a big part of it. He's the owner, I think. If you win matches or you get into a streak, you get videos dropped into your email from all these like real life fighters, and they say stuff like, "Oh, you just knocked the crap out of that guy. Good job. Yeah, keep doing that. You'll succeed in the UFC." There's also one that's quite disturbing. One message, and I'll try and do it as accurately as possible, and I'm not exaggerating at all. "You punched that guy so hard he probably doesn't even recognize his family, but that doesn't matter because you won. Keep it up, dude."
Ooh. It's an intense sport.
Yes, it is. The good thing is that intensity is kind of reflected in the graphics. I mean, this is some of the most realistic character models that I've ever seen.
And they get destroyed in front of you.
Yeah, although it isn't that bloody. I mean, there is damage, like their faces get puffed up and they get cuts on their body and stuff like that. But it's not as violent as watching it. The violence has kind of been toned down a little bit for the game, I think.
Yeah.
Like, there's no huge blood spatters, although there are some. It's not as much as in real life.
Listeners, you have no idea how much Razor's eyes bugged out when he said, not as much blood as in real life.
Well,
we're all in danger.
The thing is that...
run from your radio, he's coming for you.
I really like playing the game, but then, you know, while you're playing the career mode, it'll show you montages and footage of the real fights and stuff like that. And every time I see it, I'm like, whoa, that is full on. Like, that's quite distressing what these guys do to each other. The elbows and the knees coming out of nowhere and stuff like that. Yeah, it's just, it's brutal.
Yeah. But if you're a fan of UFC, that's what you're after, right?
I think so. I mean, I'm coming at this game like from the perspective of someone who's not a huge fan of UFC, and I had a great time with it. If you are into UFC, I can't really speak for you. I don't know if this is like too complex or not complex enough or anything like that. But I think that the moveset is reflected. There are all of the moves are there. I mean, there's a Superman punch, the flying knee. Those are the only two I need. But there's more if you want them. And there's 97 of your favorite UFC fighters, as well as a small roster of 7 female fighters. I had a good time with it, although the career mode does get a little bit repetitive after a while. It kind of becomes more of a grind as you go along, but as you start repeating the same training session.
Wonderful. Razor is now ready to fight a man in real life.
Yeah. Any takers?
Jody?
Crickets chirp.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not a fighting man. I'm a pacifist. Lee, you have been playing a MMO called Wildstar.
Yes,
I have. Been hearing a lot about this game recently.
Yeah, well, it came out about a month ago, and I have been playing it as much as I possibly can. It is developed by Carbine. It's a really interesting MMO. So it's a massive multiplayer online game. It's a role-playing game. So, you know, you are seeing yourself from the third person as you go about gathering resources, taking on quests, fighting monsters, and what have you. It is a sci-fi MMO, which is a little bit rare. Generally, they're of the...
sort of high fantasy with elves and...
yeah.
Dwarves and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Bows and arrows, swords, shields.
Yeah, so this one is set on an alien planet called Nexus, which is has been abandoned by the big ancient race that ruled the entire galaxy. And so now there are two factions that have landed there. One of them, the Exiles, who are just trying to find a new way to live. The other being the Dominion, who are the evil empire, essentially. So there are races and classes that are distinct to each. But the interesting thing about Wildstar is that it really, really feels like World of Warcraft in a way that is actually good and almost nostalgic for what World of Warcraft at its best is and or was.
It looks a fair bit like it too. I mean, allowing for the fact that it's about aliens with laser guns, the visual style did immediately remind me of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, they have a very similar palette. They both have quite good art direction that means that they're games that are going to look good in several years from now when technology has surpassed the current level. Wildstar in particular is a very, very attractive game. It's very cartoony, but the texture work and the palette choice, the lighting, everything is just gorgeous. You spend a lot of time in wilderness areas and you'll be walking through strange alien grass that shifts behind you and picking up exotic, interesting plant life and fighting weird creatures. Everything has been really, really well designed. Someone has gone through and made sure that all of the shapes work and move well. The animation is superb. Everything is full of character and life. So it's a very charming game to encounter. Some people might be turned off by the cartoony graphics. For shame, I say to you.
Yeah, those people could suck it.
Yes, they can. That's just disappointing for them because it's beautiful. You know, it's a fun CG cartoon about space aliens murdering one another. It has a lot of interesting systems in it that make it really fun to play. They nailed all of the basic stuff that a lot of online games don't get right. you flow from one area to the other one at the right speed. The quests are generally engaging and they'll mix it up. So all of that stuff that online games are secretly about, all of that just works and works really well. And it's the MMO side of the industry has hit a point where they are all kind of tropes now. And a lot of recent games have been trying to disguise the fact that they're an online game. And not doing particularly well. I think the Elder Scrolls Online is a good example of something that wanted you to think it was a single-player game, but because of that, it never acknowledged the shortcomings of having to play in a shared space with other people. Whereas Wildstar has gone into it going, well, okay, the best that these games can be in a commercial fashion is a great big theme park that's either about wizards or spaceships, so we will be the best and most fun and smoothest and deepest and intricate theme park that we can be at the moment. And so there's a lot of stuff that you can unearth there. You never don't feel like you're playing a video game, but you feel like you're playing a really cool video game. It really wants to be fun and exciting, even down to the fact that, like, when you level up, there is a slick guitar lick and then lightning strikes your character and big chrome heavy metal letters come up and say level up, and then an extremely over the top dude goes holy sh, and he swears and says you just leveled up. Like, it is ludicrous at times because of that, and it's hard to take it seriously sometimes, and it wants to be talking about the battle between the Dominion and the Exiles and their plight. But as a video game that you play when you want to sit down and play a video game, all of that stuff is really cool.
You mentioned that it felt like WoW at its best. Can you name anything that it cut or added that makes it better than WoW?
Look, it's fresh, so there's that out of the gate. One thing that it does differently that I really, really like is, or that I like in theory, and that I think one day will be perfected, and maybe not in this game, is their combat system, which is based around you and your opponents will generate fields of threat, basically, and anything that's caught in that field is going to take damage. So it's simulating the way that an action game works, but for the shortcomings that you have with an online game. For our listeners who maybe aren't aware, and it's something that you will notice particularly in Australia, there's a delay between the command that you're making and when that action will happen in the world. And so online games have found a number of ways to get around this. They have casting times and delayed activity or just automatic attack sort of stuff that will happen. That means that the game that you see makes sense to you and you feel like your inputs are happening. And then on the other end of that, across the ocean, the simulation is making up for that lost time. And so that tends to make combat in these games a bit static and a bit immobile, whereas Wildstar wants you to move around and wants you to play it like it's an action game. And so you do have to constantly reposition yourself, and you can see the attacks that your enemies are going to make, so you have to be able to dodge. There's a lot of active dodging of things, and everything gets telegraphed, so you can see what your attack is going to do, and you can see what your opponent's attacks are going to do, which means that you get that same feeling with that delay built into it. And the problem with it is that because when you attack, you see where your attack is going to hit, so you can line it up, and so that the server can catch up. It does mean that everything has a slight delay to it, even actions that really, really shouldn't. So everything that you do, you don't get that thing that makes video games great, which is you push a button, your guy does a thing. Even if you're, you know, swinging a sword or shooting a gun or channeling swords made out of psychic energy, it happens after the delay, after you push the button, and you feel that every single time. And it's built into it, and it works for what they want to do, but it's not very satisfying. And that's a massive thing that makes it harder to get behind some of the classes. Some of them, some of the play types that they've got there, that's more evident than others. And so I bounced off the game for a good week because I hadn't yet figured out how to reconcile that. The other thing with that is that because it's an overlay on the interface, it means that you, instead of playing a fight and, you know, thinking of yourself as being a dude shooting guns or, you know, casting spells or whatever, you're looking at this shape that is overlaid onto the map in front of you, and you're trying to line that up against another shape, and that discounts, like, you're not looking at the gorgeous art then, you're just looking at these blue and red shapes and making that sure that the red shape isn't over your guy and that the blue shape is over your opponent. So the attacks themselves, the things that your characters do are really exciting and elaborate and well animated, but you don't really pay attention to that. Like, I have no idea. There's a character called a Spellslinger, which is a space cowboy whose guns shoot magic. Like, that's the best thing that I've ever heard.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. And so I made that character first, and that one in particular is all about making sure that your blue line is over the guy. And so I have no idea what any of his attacks, like, what comes out of the guns. I couldn't tell you. I think maybe one of them does lightning. All I know is that blue line over the guy.
You could be shooting lizards for, you know, you could be, like, firing wombats.
Yeah. Like, I hope. That would be cool. So the combat is theoretically really, really cool. It's just that the interface that they give you to deal with it is actually kind of counterproductive to playing the game. And that's that diminishes the feel of it. But beyond that, like, that's something that you can get used to, and you can find your own rhythm with it. Like, it, what it does really well is that it gives you a great, great big space, and it makes it, it fills that space with stuff to do. It makes it fun to go off and find your own things to do. It actually allows you to just play the game as an explorer and go and see if you can work out, like, it's full of jumping puzzles, which is amazing. A massive world. Like, if you want, you can just go and find stuff at the top of the highest points in the town. Like, all of that exploration that kind of gets cut out of these things because it's hard to do that with other people is just inserted into this game.
And are you rewarded for those activities with XP?
Yeah, you are. You get rewarded with XP, with unlocks, with secret abilities. There's a lot of stuff that you can just find squirreled away in there. And it also gives you a lot of customization options as well. Like, it has player housing, which was a big thing a while ago and then kind of abandoned. But this, like, plays like The Sims. You can just spend all your time, like, hours and hours lining everything up and you know, making sure that your strange alien den has a bed, and mine has a cup of tea because that's how you know that it's mine. And you unlock, like, weird garden elements and mini dungeons that you can just plug into your backyard of your house. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
there's always, like, two distinct communities that join these role-playing games, these MMOs. There's the players that are in it for the gaming mechanics, like beating bosses and raids, and they love the combat and leveling, and they discuss strategies and stuff like that. And then there's the role players on the other side, and they're the ones that like to create a character and live that character and interact with other players as though they are that character and really get into the game that way. It seems like this game is kind of catering to that second category a lot.
Yeah, look, I think that it actually does a pretty good job of catering to both, because the other thing about the combat is that it is balls hard, and the dungeons and the raiding system that they've got is really, really difficult to get into, which those guys love. Like, you have to spend weeks before you can even go into some of the bigger dungeons, because you got to collect other things and do other stuff. So all of that is really great. But then, yeah, the social players are also really catered to, because towns are big and people can just hang out there and trade and show off the fact that their hoverboard looks exactly like the one from Back to the Future 2. And then you can take people to check out your cool house, and their house will be so different from yours because of the amount of weird things. Like, you can, I have, like, five different trees that I've picked up that are mostly unique to me. If I went to someone else's house, they wouldn't have those trees. I wouldn't care, but that's the level of detail that they put into this.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Are you far enough into the game that you can comment on the end game? You know, when you after you finish leveling and you have to band with other players, get into a guild and beat the huge raid bosses?
No, I've not really hit that point yet, but I do know that people are really excited about it. It's still really early on, so while people have hit level cap, the guilds are still forming and starting to do the raids, and there's a lot of stuff that you have to do before you can get into that. So one thing that this has done, which you would think is counterintuitive for the MMO industry, is they've made it more work to get into that end level content to do the really rewarding stuff. You actually have to do other things, and you've got to earn that. But they've done it in a way where it's not tedious. Like, it was always a problem with, like, EverQuest, where the entire game was just one massive grind, and to hell with that. But more recent MMOs have taken that sense of achievement out and taken the fact that, like, the best part about an online game is, for me, I think, when there's enough time for players to just naturally build a community and build a sense of self. Like, that was what World of Warcraft was for me, was that you would start to recognize people in the towns because the game required that you had to go to town. You had to spend time with other people to advance because there was no way to just do stuff by yourself. And they took a lot of those roadblocks out because people wanted to just jump into stuff. And I get that. But then it meant that none of that meant anything. There was no point in playing an online game if you didn't have to try to work with other people. So it'll be interesting to see how this does, because the industry is not what it was when World of Warcraft was at its height. So whether they're able to carve out a space for themselves, I think is really interesting. But I've had a lot of fun with it. I think it's a really interesting, beautiful place to inhabit. And I will probably be... It's a subscription game, which is a bit unfortunate in this world of free-to-play, but I will probably at some point continue beyond the initial month, because there's stuff there that I want to keep checking out.
It's really exciting being on board an MMO as it's new, right? Because all of the players in the community are kind of exploring this world together.
Yeah, yeah. And they've built that into the lore of the world as well, because it is a world where everyone is new and exploring and trying to find stuff. So that sense carries across into the community, and it's great to be able to do that. And in a game that is actually so polished, like, it's a double-edged sword being in an MMO at the start of the game generally, because while you get to be with everyone else finding stuff, you're also there with the most raggedy game possible where everything is broken. But with WildStar, that's not really the case. Everything works. It's a polished game. Cool. They tested it before they let it out into the world.
Good to know.
That is good.
Yeah.
So for anyone interested in WildStar, there is an upfront cost to play the game as well as the subscription fee, and it's only available for the PC, right?
Yes, that is correct. It's pretty easy to acquire if you should desire it.
Yep. And we have been talking about WildStar. Thank you very much, Lee. And this has been Zed Games. This will bring us to the end of this week's episode. As usual, thanks for listening. You can check us out on Facebook, Zed Games AU, and the same handle on Twitter. And you can check out our regular podcasts on zgamesau.net.
Thanks for listening. This has been Zed Games, recorded live in Brisbane on 4ZZZ and heard nationally thanks to the Community Radio Network. For more information on the show and to join the Zed Games community, head to our website, zgamesau.net. That's spelt Z-E-D, or send us an email at contact@zgamesau.net. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Zed Games is produced with the assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation.